Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome to Game On right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are Femi and the gang. And it's a funny way to start the show indeed because I can hardly hear myself. Well, somehow we'll get through it. This is Tuesday. This is Tuesday, the 23rd of May, 2023. And somehow I'm still finding my way around this studio, this new studio we are in. But it takes getting used to. It certainly does take getting used to. And I hope you can hear me loud and clear. I hope you can hear me indeed, because I really cannot hear myself. But guys, welcome to Game On. It promises to be fun today. We're setting everywhere on fire in a very good way indeed. Getting started with Nickelback on the show today. You know, when I come on the air, it's always going to be rock songs, the very best of rock songs for you. And what a balmy way to start indeed. So much to talk on the show today. By the way, I am Samuel Victor Akpan, bidding you warm welcome on a Tuesday. Football has allowed us the opportunity to take a bit of a break from Game On, but we are back this time around as the season slowly draws to an end. And yes, Game On returns. There's going to be more and more of Game On, indeed, even as we continue our coverage of the Under-20 FIFA World Cup in Argentina, currently ongoing. Great news for the Flying Eagles of Nigeria. They started their campaign with a win against the Dominican Republic, but it wasn't quite the victory that many expected of Nigeria. Tomorrow, they take on the opponents from Italy in their second game of that particular tournament as they seek a first win crown, a world crown, as for Nigeria when it comes to the Flying Eagles of Nigeria. But all of that tomorrow. We'll talk about that on the show today. So much to talk about, like I said. We'll be talking more and more about the Premier League title race that's set to conclude at the weekend. Manchester City emerging as champions for the third consecutive time, the ninth time overall in the club's history. And of course, the fourth or the fifth title now for Pep Guardiola. Absolutely interesting. The fifth title, the dominance continues out there for Manchester City. And we are going to be talking about how that affects the Premier League in terms of their European participation. Do you think somehow City dominating, is it a good or a bad omen for the Premier League when it comes to winning more and more Champions League titles? That we'll talk about on the show. So, and of course, the very latest when it comes to transfer stories on the broadcast from Europe, from Nigeria, and with specific focus on the Super Eagles of Nigeria. How has the National 11 of Nigeria fared when it comes to this season? We'll talk about that, from Victor Osimhen to Taiwo Awoniyi to Chukwueze to Terrell Murphy, Paul Onuachu, Simon Moses, all of the players when it comes to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. We're going to talk about the season they've had for their various clubs, and you will give me your scorecard of the Super Eagles at this season. All of that on the broadcast today. Welcome to Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. All right, before I get into, or we get into all of the conversation, let's meet the guys in the studio. As always, you know the Tuesday crew with Femi and the gang. And I'm always delighted when I have to walk alongside this man, because he brings so much to the broadcast, to the business of sports indeed. He's a fine professional and someone I totally, totally adore. And I'm obviously, immensely, completely, totally in awe of his presence every time. Anthony the Voice is in the studio. And Anthony, always, always, always a pleasure to have you alongside me. I don't watch you too much, Abby.
But, okay, good.
Can you hear me? Yours is better than mine.
Is it?
Yeah, way
no,
better
it's
than
my
mine.
Voice. It's
oh,
my
this
voice,
is better
really.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? You were letting the cat out of the bag that we're...
I was?
As regards to where we currently are. We're probably broadcasting from Mars.
Yeah, it you could never be anywhere you think. Well, sounding like aliens.
Honestly, right? I don't know what you know, to make of the sound, but I'm hoping that you're enjoying it whichever way. That's the most important thing. I'm excited to be here. It's a good Tuesday evening. It's cool. You know, I've had a really restful day, so Just strolled out here to have fun with my goons, talk football, talk sports, and yeah, have a very good laugh also. So I'm ready to go. It's a good evening, and thank you for the kind words, Sam. You epitomize
you deserve
much
it.
More than all of the words that you have showered at me this evening, to be honest, and really, really proud to have you as a brother.
Always, always a pleasure, Anthony. He's not going to be the only one alongside me on the broadcast. Did I say my name? I am Samuel Victor Akpan, by the way, welcoming you again. I think I
said it. We know your name.
You know my name, right? Indeed. And let's also say hello and welcome to another fine gentleman. I told him I can't survive. There's Anthony, yes, there's Anthony, but then there's you. I can't survive without you on a Tuesday. You know how we roll every single time. It's not just when we come on air, it's also when we're off air. And in the newsroom, how we do our things, how we do what we do. He's an absolute... He's an absolute gentleman, and I'm always, just like Anthony, I'm always in awe of his presence as well, and he's no other than the great man.
Mr. Reliable.
Reliable. Everything you can think of him. He's also a physiotherapist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I said you're not mistaken.
If you heard his voice.
If you don't change. I don't know what the description is, but he's the best when it comes to that business. And of course, the business of sportscasting as well. Odovai Ekpeiko is alongside me. Odovai, I could sing your praises from now until 10 p.m. and that still wouldn't be enough.
Sing it.
I could sing it.
Oh, good evening, Lagos.
What is wrong with this one?
I don't know that.
Sam, this one you're singing everybody's praises.
No, not everybody.
No. I'm honored.
It's you and Anthony.
I'm honored. It's an honor to be seen in that light from Samwine.
Mm. I'm
His
nothing.
Excellency.
I'm nothing.
His Excellency.
Legend. I'm nothing.
The greatest of them all. Man and more. Made for more.
You guys are one and a half.
Okay.
Now. Anyway.
I won't say anything.
All right. Okay, let's go to the man. I also love him. I must confess. I love the guy.
You can't hate him, can you? You really want
Anthony,
to hate him. But
you want to hate him, but you love him.
Yeah.
And you want to love him, but you hate him. But he's also a brilliant character as well, a brilliant man and a brilliant mind.
Absolutely.
As well. He's a fine gentleman as well, sitting very lazily in the studio. And that's the thing about him. He's always, the demeanor about him is one of laziness, but when he opens his mouth, it comes with a lot.
Absolutely.
David Okwara is in the studio. David, we are honored. It's not just me. It's also Anthony, and it's also Dubai. We're honored to have you in the
to
studio.
Have you, sir.
What to do? I'm honored to welcome you all to my show.
I mean,
the way things are nowadays, we need to help the young ones.
The less privileged.
I remember where Tony was.
Can you hear yourself?
I found him. You know, Tony was somewhere, you know, he was married, but he was not happy.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
See, boy toy.
God forbid.
I picked him up, dusted him off.
I made him the man he is today.
I mean, found out he could talk sports. I mean, Sam, you remember where I met you?
Yeah, I do.
Remember where you were fixing things in Computer Village?
Wow.
Life was
happening. I don't even know anything about computers.
you know, hold over here, I found where he was setting bone in Ijoland.
He was restructuring people's bone.
You know, and paid for his school fees, sent him to school. Now he's a Unilag boy out here chilling. I mean,
wow.
These are the things we do for the next generation.
Talk about what you've done. I mean, where did you pick Emmanuel Etim from? If you dare.
You know,
it's a couple of days before payday.
It was a cold night. Not actually. I'll tell you. It was a cold night, you know, when I met him. You know, he was, let us walk together. I was like, he's a talented young man.
With his scattered beard.
He's a talented young man.
I wasn't on this show.
I was definitely.
Let's walk together and see what's
far from this show.
Talent,
you know? Me was not there.
You know, I mean, what to do? I mean, we help people all the time. I get it.
Sam, this is the time to move away from
you know, talk about where I met Alex.
Let's leave him to embarrass himself. Let him improve.
Where I met you. Remember where I met Alex?
Did you meet Chuma too?
No, talk about the man that just walked in. If you dare, he's right beside you. Talk about him.
I mean, Chuma knows where I get him. I mean, he's here. He can tell you. He was in Aja, you know, not too far from.
What should we sing for you? My power.
It wasn't not too far from Juma. Jubilee Bridge over there. It was like, boss,
it's not a Jubilee Bridge.
You know, I was like, ah, wow, okay. Today now, this.
You found that he can rhyme.
Yeah, I found that he can rhyme.
Wow.
We help people, you know.
Help
these,
people.
These are the things we do. I mean, Tony is talking now wearing glasses. This boy could not have 5 naira to his name when I met him.
Oh,
you
my
know?
God.
These are the things.
And it's all good that after helping all of us, we contribute to feed you.
That is the point of it. You know, you help the poor help you back.
Okay.
Wow. That is it. You know, that is.
Today is what, 23rd? Five more days and salary will drop.
We fix.
If you don't get paid, we know why.
Well, I'm not scared of what the future may hold. What can kill me has already killed me.
Papa, Palestine said Gary, have you? Gary and Granot. Okay.
Thank you very much. You see, that's another person I help. You know? I help people a lot.
David, this is not, be quiet.
I've invested in folks.
Lagos, Nigeria, let's also say welcome to Chumanali, who's in the studio now. He's the boss of all bosses, right?
Wow.
When he comes in, there's a different air. There's a different feel to the environment.
It
takes a warmer touch, and everything just... Why am I echoing?
Mickey Echo.
It takes a warmer touch, and he certainly brings the spice to everything when it comes to sports. I mean, we can sing his praises as well all evening.
When it comes to sports,
when it comes to sports.
That's what I was thinking.
You guys preempt me. But Chuma,
these are the issues. These are the issues.
All ill. All hail.
First time I had a hug with you guys, so these are new. There's this swag around it. I just bring coffee so the place will not be stuffy. A cup of coffee so it's not going to be stuffy.
I wish you could have that right
over
now.
Here,
that's your
people.
Dream.
And you're not bluffing. You're not bluffing.
I'll give you a trophy.
Nobody heard that one. I said like Shane Duffy, you laugh.
Stressed.
You always judge you.
But truly, to be fair, you know, looking at the way David is seated, there's this big man package.
But you don't get money now.
I mean, I've been helping people.
Hey, you don't do it. Guys, you can join the conversation 0700-993-993-993 01465-790. We're going to be doing this from now until 10 p.m. Like I said, there's so many things to talk about on the show today. And we'll be starting off with updates from the Under-20 World Cup currently happening in Argentina. And the Flying Eagles are going to be in action tomorrow against Italy, and the captain of the team has been speaking and has had quite a bit to say about their chances of qualifying for the next round of the competition. Remember, they did defeat the Dominican Republic by 2-1. I mean, Dominican Republic scoring what was their first ever goal at a FIFA tournament.
Absolutely.
And it was quite celebrating. I don't know if it's true. I read something about them being awarded or rewarded by FIFA for that feat. I can't confirm that, but it's how important that goal was for them. First ever participation, and it was quite the seismic feat indeed. But meanwhile, the captain for the Super... Why do I keep calling them the Super Eagles? The Flying Eagles has been speaking. He goes by the name of Bameyi, and he's had quite a bit to say when it comes to that competition indeed for them. And he's been talking about the chances, like I said, how he thinks Italy are just Italy. I mean, they may have Cesare Casadei, but he's just who he is. Nothing special to him and all of that. But we did see them play against Brazil. I mean, whoever beats Brazil is a big team. It must be mentioned. I mean, the performance, they were leading Brazil by 3-0 before Brazil came back to score twice. And that tells you of the quality of the side. Flying Eagles captain Daniel Bameyi has declared that his team is not scared of Italy, who they face next at the 2023 FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Argentina. The young Azzurri edged 5-time champions Brazil by 3-2 in their opening fixture. The Flying Eagles also started the competition on a winning note, coming back from a goal down to defeat debutants Dominican Republic by 2-1. Bameyi agreed the Italians will be a difficult team to beat, but he is confident his side will come out victorious. This is me taking a quote from him. He said, "The next opponent beat Brazil, and we were opportune to watch the first half. Any team that can beat Brazil will not be an easy team, but we are Nigerians and not scared of anybody And we know every team is beatable no matter how you play. The defender said he was talking to NFF TV. The Flying Eagles will play Italy at the Estadio Malvinas in Argentina in Mendoza. And that game kicks off at 7 p.m. Nigerian time tomorrow. Let's jump in on that, guys, in a bit before we go on our first break in about 3 minutes' time. Anthony, let me start off with you. You called that game here in the studio. Nigeria against Dominican Republic. I followed the commentary on my way home after the Chelsea City game. And you are in what is a vantage position to talk about this. You saw the team. Bosso is not one who's regarded as the man with a lot of tactical nous in this on this occasion. But how confident are you with the team's chances going into that game against Italy tomorrow?
Not so confident because, you know, I actually watched the Italy-Brazil, you know, and watch the entire thing, and you know, from what I saw, honestly, the Flying Eagles have a lot to do. It wasn't particularly, you know, a bad performance, just to put it out there and very clear. It wasn't bad,
but it wasn't good either.
But it wasn't good enough.
Okay.
It was an opportunity for them to really make a big statement starting this tournament and taking apart debutants. I mean, a side who had conceded about 18 goals in their last five games prior to that game against the Flying Eagles. There was a big expectation that the boys go into that fixture and show command, show clinicality, show that, you know, Italy, Brazil, by the time they hear about that scoreline, they know that, hey, we're up for something. Absolutely. But they struggled, especially in the final third, which is almost becoming the same song we're singing these days. Our teams, it's like they're forgetting how to score goals when it matters most. They create chances, but they're very poor with their conversion. Dominican Republic scored first, and for a very large part of the game, you felt like, you know, they were wearing the better side, but they were in the game. Let me just put it that way. They were in the tie. Unfortunately, defensive mishap gave Samson Lawa that chance to score for the Flying Eagles. But generally, the performance wasn't the very best. When you watch the Italy-Brazil game and you look at levels, standards at which the Italian team is operating, it was one of those games that you probably ask yourself, are these guys on the 20? You know, the pace, intensity
of the game.
Would you
really call it levels and standards or just pure basics that we lack?
Well, basics, yeah. But as a collective, I didn't think that the Flying Eagles showed, you know, a very high level of performance.
Okay.
In the way they performed as a collective. When you can also say that the Italy-Brazil game is a different game, giving that, yeah, two sides, top quality. But yet, you expected the Flying Eagles to show something more. The Dominican side, like I said, were in that game. You know, it could have ended 1-1 if that mistake didn't probably come. The Flying Eagles had several chances. Jude Sunday, corporate especially, failing to bury. These are the issues. This is why our under-17 team will not be at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have won our first game in the last three editions of this tournament, but we're going to lose our second game. We're hoping that that won't be the same. That Italian team have got real, real quality. Ladambosa was speaking prior to this evening, and he was saying that, you know, that the Flying Eagles are fit enough to compete with the Italians. And I'm saying, you know, why is it always about, you know, pace, you know, energy for us? From a tactical point of view, where do we stand? What are the questions we can answer if the Italians switch up on us? Those are some of the big conversations that we need to start having. But yeah, it will be a very good test for this team. Let's really know how far they can go. Let's see the levels at which they can operate. It will be a very quality team. And I think that you need such a kind of fixture early on in the competition to really test how far you can go. If they go past Italy, then you say probably we've got a team to look at very closely. All but right, yeah, Anthony, if they don't,
yeah, we'll see how that one pans out tomorrow. Let's go on a break, Lagos, Nigeria. When we come back, I'll get the thoughts of the rest of the guys in the studio. This is still Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are Femi and the gang, and we will be right back.
Such a good feeling when the news of unity fills the air while the wind blows.
Super Eagles, no tension. You are winning by the grace of God. You shall win, you shall win, you shall win. So.
All right, Lagos, Nigeria, welcome back. Still Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. The voice of Samuel Victor Akman in good company of Anthony the Voice, Chumanoli Odova Ekpeiko, and of course David Okwara. Together, we are just about started getting you into the thick of things when it comes to the conversation tonight on the broadcast. Before the break, we're talking about the Flying Eagles of Nigeria and their current campaign at the Under 20 World Cup in Argentina, where they won their first game by 2-1 against Minos, respectfully, the Dominican Republic, and they take on Mighty Powers in Italy tomorrow before their final group game against the Brazil side in the competition. With 3 points in the bag, what are their chances of making it through to the next round? Following Italy's opening game, where they defeated the Brazilian side by 3-2. This is a competition we've never won before when it comes to the World Cup, talking about the Flying Eagles of Nigeria. So what's your take? What do you think is going to be their chance against Italy tomorrow? They play by 7 p.m. UK time. That's about the same 1 hour ahead or behind when it comes to my maths bad. When it comes to Nigerian time. Okay. All right. So before we cross over, I just want to throw this in as well, because we're talking developmental football for Nigeria. And the news on the home front when it comes to the under 17 and under 23 side, the dream team, is that they are now without coaches. Following the failure of the national under 23 team to qualify for the under 23 African Cup of Nations and the quarterfinal exits of the Golden Eaglets at the just concluded CAF Under 17 tournament, the Nigerian Football Federation has sacked both Salisu Yusuf and Unduka Ubade, who are both coaches for the two sides as mentioned. Yusuf and Ubade were axed during the team's for the team's woeful performances. Their sack was made public by the NFF president, Ibrahim Gusau. Taking a quote from him, he said, "Their jobs are tied to the competition. The coaches have no jobs to do now since their teams failed to qualify for the tournaments they were supposed to be qualifying for. Because the under 23 team failed to qualify for the under 23 African Cup of Nations, they would not be featuring in a football event of the Paris Olympic Games in 2024. Likewise, Ubade's Golden Eaglets also crashed out of the under 17 African Cup of Nations in the last eight stage, which cost Nigeria, a five-time champion, a place at the next World Cup. So clearly, at the stage of development when it comes to our football, we are, pardon my language, at a rot. And to think that the Super Eagles itself is not particularly at a good place tells you our football probably has no notable direction at the moment. But maybe that's just me, and I'm being a bit too harsh with my analysis. But Chuma, let me ask you, off of these two stories we've just talked about, mm-hmm, lack of coaches or the sacking of the coaches at the under 17 and under 23 levels, and of course the under 20 boys not doing well at the moment. I mean, Ibrahim Gusau has a job, or has the job, on his hands at the moment, and you think maybe we should put aside the Super Eagles of Nigeria for a bit and work with these stages, the under 17, under 20, and under 23. If we get it right at these levels, the Super Eagles would naturally benefit off of that.
True, Sam. I'm just staring at these guys in the studio right now, and everybody has beards, really. I'm thinking that if Hodovai takes off his beards and 22, he could pass as an under-20 player, you know, help us out in that category of our football. But on a more serious note, really, I think that we're suffering the lowest of lows now, you know. So I want to say the lowest ebb, as the case is, in our football at age grade level. We had perhaps the best times we've had in recent times for a decade between 2005 and 2015, you know. So much of success is coming under the leadership of Aminu Meigerito as NFF president at that time. 2005, you know, Siasia took us to the under-20 World Cup final. We lost Argentina. Under-23 level too, we got to the final of the Olympic Games, you know, and the success is continued like that. The under-17 sets were world champions in 2007, in 2013, in 2015. We were African under-20 champions in 2015 with Manu Gaba. And after that, it looks like all of these successes have evaporated. And, you know, I know that we argue many times that it's not about winning the age grade competitions. True, it's not about winning them. It's about being able to churn out talents that become superstars for the national team. However, there has to be signs. There have to be signs, as the case is, to show that, hey, you're going somewhere. Because it's not a coincidence that, you know, Ghana got to the latter stages of the World Cup in South Africa in 2010 as the only African country that got to the semi-final, mm-hmm. quarter-final stage of that competition back then, Asamoah Gyan, that penalty, Wahalasha, against Uruguay. And a year before that, Ghana had become the first African nation to win the under-20 World Cup, beating Brazil in the final with penalty kicks. Some of those players who were part of that success story were carried to the World Cup in 2010 too. It's not a coincidence that Nigeria's greatest time at national team level was between 94 and 2000, you know. And in 94, we're African champions, second round of the World Cup. In 96, our under-23 team won the Olympic gold medal. It's not a coincidence that Cameroon had their best run in recent times with the Samuel Eto'o set, you know, between 2000 and 2004. They were African champions in 2000 and 2002. And in 2002, they were Olympic champions in under-23 football at the Sydney Games. So these things work hand in hand sometimes. They do. And there are too many examples, like I've just mentioned now, mostly for African nations. On the other hand, what is happening to our Super Eagles? They are struggling. And then our age grade national teams are struggling as well too. It's highly spiritual, my brother. It's not, you know, but it's terrible. It's embarrassing that we cannot even qualify anymore for
tournaments,
bro. That's the right word. You know, this Salisu Yusuf set is just to, they're not toxic, qualify for Olympics, so just qualify for the African Championship first, you know, or Guinea Comoros, you know, Guinea Comoros for qualifying race. So is that embarrassing? And to be fair, I'm not surprised. I don't even want to use the word sack in this context. It's a case of truly, the Olympic Games comes around once every 4 years. So you have the qualifying phase for this African under-23 championship tied to the Olympic Games. So it's that 4 year cycle. So what are you doing? Why are we paying you salary? There's nothing for you to coach. So truly, I don't see it as breaking news. But the embarrassing thing as I wrap up on this is the fact that these things are not one-offs anymore. We didn't qualify for the men's football competition. Same thing with women's football competition of the last Olympic Games in Tokyo in Japan. And now our men will not be at the men's football competition again 4 years after. Embarrassing stuff, man.
Back-to-back absence from the arguably, or not even arguably, the biggest sporting event in the world.
Yeah,
that
that's
we
what
know
the Olympic Games is.
And we know how important it is for our participation in those tournaments. But now let's bring it to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. I mean, we've had... maybe you would tell me what you think, what I would call just a regular season for our players playing at their different clubs in Europe. And let's walk through the current players of the Super Eagles setup under Jose Pesero. We know our regular starting 11, or those who get invited to the Super Eagles of Nigeria team. And I'm going to ask the question, let's put into consideration certain factors when we make this analysis. Now, in comparison to previous seasons, that's one factor. Adding the exploits of other top African players, I'm talking Salah, I'm talking Mane, I'm talking Kalidou Koulibaly, I'm talking who else is a top African talent at the moment. Let's look at these other, Riyad Mahrez, thank you very much, Odovai, for other countries. There's a certain guy at Eintracht Frankfurt, a Senegalese, who's being quoted at the moment. That's another factor, the second factor to add. And then the summer and winter moves made by these Super Eagles players, some of them moved at the start of the season, some of them moved in the January transfer window. Now the question is, when you look at all of these factors, how would you score the season for the Super Eagles players? Would you call it good? Would you call it average? Or would you call it outright bad? Now, I'm not just talking one individual. I'm talking the 11, the 22. When you pitch them, the team in its entirety. Victor Osimhen is one would easily say that he's had a season even better than Salah, even better than Mane, even better than, you know, other African players. Maybe the closest to him on the African continent at the moment is Riyad Mahrez in terms of the output he's put out this season. Then there's Ahmed Musa. Yes, Samuel Chukwueze. There's Terem Murphy. Now I'm giving you your Super Eagles national team. There's who else is Ademola Lookman, another one who had a good season, some would describe. Taiwo Awoniyi did well for what's their name? Nottingham Forest. Didn't help them get out of the forest and survive relegation. Alex Iwobi is another one. Another very good season, you would say.
Everton, it's been a good season.
I mean, if they didn't play out this season, he'll probably be among them.
And off of what he did with them last season, this season was an improvement for him personally. Moses Simon.
God, I beg.
Wilfred Ndidi. Wilfred Ndidi. Kelechi Iheanacho.
God, I beg.
Calvin Bassey. Francis Zoho.
Joe Aribo.
Paul Onuachu.
Calvin Bassey.
Calvin.
Ajax had a poor year, so Calvin Bassey's.
No, he doesn't get spared, though. He was one of the reasons.
Emmanuel Dennis. Olisander. Tyrone Abuehi, Chidera Ejuke, we're waxing lyrical about him. One game
he had one serious injury.
Okay, another one who's had an injury is Umar Sadiq. Recently came back from Real Sociedad. Tyrone Murphy.
Oban.
He's not a super.
It doesn't matter. He's in Nigeria.
Cyril Dessers.
Well, Cyril, no. With Celitano.
God, I beg.
So, Odovai, let me start with you now. We're going to all have a take on this. So I mentioned the factors. Comparison to previous season, their performances, the exploit of the other players we'd mentioned, African players, top African players, the summer and the winter moves, some of them, these guys made moves. Onuachu made moves. Calvin Bassey, the Southampton one. The other one, Southampton. Oribo. Aribo.
No, Aribo, summer.
In the summer. Yes. So summer and winter moves. Yeah. And winter, every move.
What's Oribo?
when you look at that, would you call the Super Eagles this season in Europe good, average, or bad?
It's average. And in recent seasons, I think it has been bad. Mm. I think only you look at Osimhen, and I think he's the flag bearer. He's the one leading the charge.
Okay.
Lookman, most of the time, funny thing is now it's even our strikers that are...
We didn't mention any defender.
No. Defenders are no, they are nowhere.
We don't have any.
Okay. True Sekong, and the likes. It's gone. So it's just the strikers who are holding the fort. You know, Ademola Lookman, he fell off a bit because he was really hot on Osimhen Street at some point. Mm. Fell off. Awoniyi, 8 goals, very clutch in their survival in the league. You also mentioned there's another striker you mentioned. I can't remember now.
Terem Murphy also did.
He moved to Nice from. Where was he? It's not Lorient.
Lorient. Yes.
So
correct.
He also did really well for them there. Strikers aside,
Chukwueze has been a beautiful
useless Real Madrid
in the quarterfinals
He had his moments, you know. So it's just the attackers, a couple of them. These ones, there are a lot of disappointments. Joe Aribo was a major disappointment. Paul Onuachu had no business coming to the Premier League.
Had no business.
Move of the year.
Ndidi, a shadow of himself the entire season. Kelechi, I don't know. Hardly has game time. When he has a run of games, for some reason,
Rodgers takes him off.
It's been poor.
We just have Osimhen.
I think we have more than Osimhen.
We just have him. In relation to world class, if you're looking at world class players in the African scene, Mahrez, Salah. Well, African players have been. Mane has been disappointing this season.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Iwobi probably had a better season than Mane.
I beg.
Yes, Mane.
Iwobi could be relegated.
But when I first put Iwobi.
Effort.
Iwobi.
Because at some point,
take them out of where they are.
Very soon. No, Tony, don't worry.
Sadio Mane.
They are going travelers.
So what are we saying about that now?
Maybe we didn't act in a way that was in Sane.
So for you, it's average.
Yeah, and like, our just final thing is Osimhen is give or take in the conversation for African Player of the Year. It's a huge leap.
What football of the year as well?
I mean, if Napoli had gotten as far as the final, I mean, no thanks to these people.
At least
he would have been in a Ballon d'Or top 10 conversation. Top 10.
No, I'm saying if they're
now, he'll
make
the top 20.
Now 20.
He should make the final 20 now.
He should.
I think this is our best chance as Nigeria since genuinely
Sam, I just want to make Mahrez win the league.
He'll probably win the treble. But he has won it before now. They just need
to. These people are defending champions.
He's
the current holder. Oh, Mane.
Yes.
He's acting as if he does not know what he did. They will diss people, you.
Your Nigerian brother was looking for a chance to make it to the Champions League final, and you people just went and blocked the road.
Who cares about him?
You are not in the final.
And then they went on to spoil the thing by crowning Kenya as the king of Napoli.
And Frank Onyeka. You know,
that's one we forgot. That's one we forgot. Someone is mentioning gift or ban.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, we mentioned
super ego now.
We mentioned
not a super ego. Can we stop that?
Let me have your take. Let me have your take. Good, average, or poor?
It's been a terrible ride.
I didn't put terrible in the option. I said good, average, or poor. Don't
good
put option.
Average or poor. We have been church rat poor. Now, I know we've been talking.
His name is David, by the way. I did it bigs on Twitter. So you are dragging.
We've been church rat poor. And seriously speaking though, yes, we've been top heavy. Ademola Lookman's form tailed off in the past few weeks. Gift Orban, there's a lot of PR around the guy, but
he's performing, right?
Lazily
accept.
David, come on now. Why you?
And please
say the truth.
The devil will be ashamed.
David is based in the village, not in an urban area.
Now, Onuachu, probably the most boneheaded human being in that squad, Super Eagle squad.
Blame his agent.
You left a team fighting for a title.
Blame his agent.
Moved across the aisle to in the name of I will be a Premier League. I don't know how these guys think. I genuinely don't. You left your one true chance.
It could be a better time.
Your one true chance at Silverware. What you know? The funny thing is, he could go back on loan this
year. What is Belgian league compared to Premier League?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom in Premier League is a bigger brand than
top
number
in
one. With all due respect, move.
When this is it. When he's 40 years old and Osimhen will bring his Scudetto, this other guy now that won Calvin Bassey will bring his Scottish Cup and
Aribo
Scottish League. Aribo will bring his own. They will now ask brother Eberi Onuachu, so show us your own. I played in the Premier League.
There's still time for him to
Not so many players get great Premier League. I've said this thing that
Nigerian players, save for a few, they don't have ambition in their lives.
No.
Ambition is moving to the Premier League.
Exactly. Because in the middle of
a league title chase.
Ambition.
The first one you had in almost a decade. Go and check the last time game.
All right, hold on, guys. We'll be right back after the break.
All right, Lagos Nigeria, welcome back. Still game on 99.3 Nigeria Info. 1 minute down 8 p.m. And it's Still conversations ongoing right here in the studio. Samuel Victor Akman, the voice you can hear right now. Anthony, the voice, is here. Chumanali is here. Odova Ekweko is here. And of course, the man who says, are you not a madman?
See,
David Okwa.
That man should be very ashamed that they put him in the middle. I'm hurt.
You're hurt, right? Take a chill pill, okay? Guys, time to hear from you. 0700-993-993-993-0146-57190. That's the female-only line. WhatsApp, 0809597-5805. We're talking developmental football. In short, we're talking every facet of our football, from under 17 to under 20 to under 23, and now the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Yeah, and we're talking about the performance of the team, the Super Eagles this season, our players. We've listed all the players across and the clubs they play for. We have the ones that get regular invites anyway. Tell us, good, average, or bad, the season they've had, when you put into consideration the moves they made, summer and winter moves, when you also consider the exploits of other top African players. Riyad Mahrez is the standard right now. Also, who else is the African player? Mahrez and Osimhen are the standard right now.
Respect Salah. He's had a modest season, 20 goals.
As compared to the previous season he had.
27?
That's in the league.
Okay.
Salah dipped now from previous seasons.
I don't think Salah dipped.
His numbers dipped.
He has used this month to stack up his numbers.
He has stacked up his numbers. He racks up numbers. Whether Liverpool are doing well or not, he will be scoring.
But you can't, he as uses compared that team's to destiny. Previous season, you can't comfortably look at this Salah this season and say,
because his Salah is doing well. No, the thing is this.
It's beyond Liverpool's season.
Francis,
it's beyond Liverpool's season.
Uzo has a final tomorrow, Cyprus Cup, you know, so.
And he had one heck of a game against Man United, whatever I mentioned. Remember that game?
Mid-19. Yeah.
Is he not ashamed?
Saves on saves. And he took a picture of it, Ronaldo.
Is he not ashamed that his career has now been, subsumed?
Okay, so do you call it good? Do you call it average? Or do you call it, what's that word you use? Bang on paw.
No, church rat paw. Church rat paw.
Bang on paw.
Church rat paw.
That's better put.
Church rat paw, my friend.
Okay.
Come on.
0700-993-993-993. Ladies, 01465-7190. And when you call in, turn down or turn off the volume of your radio set so we can have a good conversation. Hi, good evening to you.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, good evening. What's your name?
Michael is my name.
Oh, Ike?
Michael.
Mike.
Oh, Michael. Welcome, Michael.
Michael.
Yes, thank you. Everybody in the house, I say hi.
We say hi.
Yeah, to contribute to the topic of grounds,
please.
I want to say that Nigeria did perform below average, though.
Okay.
And I want to take the issue of Ndidi and
Iheanacho
separately, thinking that the club as a whole had a terrible time this year or this season.
One of the reasons why the
chairman died, there was mismanagement from the children of the club and all those things.
The Shinawatras.
They won the FA Cup after that.
Not really. The chairman has been dead for a long time now.
They won the FA Cup after
that. Now, when we talk about our locals, you talk about our state in respect of the Senior Eagles, Super Eagles.
Yes.
My dear, we come on this road a long way before the outing of Phoenix. We can't forget that easily. And the fact remains that whatever is on the ground now is the Waterloo that we are just trying to get out of. And another issue is that until we stop paying to be part of the Eagles, even at the junior level, will not get the best of our talent.
Okay.
Believe you me, this is the major issue deliberating against the Eagles and Nigeria as a whole.
All right.
And for our Taiwo, Awoniyi, and others, I still believe Nigeria is still good. Even look at, there's competition from all nations now. Brazil itself is not what it used to be. Portugal, they are not what they used to be. So there's no rookie any longer. So you find competition everywhere. You have to be there when you are there, and you have to be true for it.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate you. Michael, indeed. More calls. Hi, good evening to you. Hello?
Hello, good evening, Samuel.
Hi, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, everybody in the house.
Welcome.
It's a full house today.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a great teacher, Samuel. To start with, Samuel, you are disrespecting Salah. It's because Salah is like Messi. Because Messi has been scoring 50 goals.
Even Messi, too, has had a below par season now.
Eh?
Even Messi too has had a below par season.
Yes, because if Messi now scored 35 goals in a season, so people will start saying he has a bad season.
Mm.
Some people, like some other striker, any season they score 50 goals in a season, they will celebrate them.
Marcos.
They did well. Eh?
Rashi, so, baby.
See, don't disrespect Salah.
No. It's not disrespect. I'm just saying, can you beat your chest and say, oh, Salah has been the Salah we know him to be this season?
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, no, that's the point. You're not doing it. You're not telling me he has done well.
Yeah, because of the form of the team.
Okay.
See, but coming to our own, you know, I always say...
Yes, we should talk about
our own. Our own, they are fighting relegation. The only Nigeria player I see that he's been in Premiership this season is Taiwo Awoniyi. Remember at the beginning,
he himself
doing well, and Nottingham Forest they were doing well also. Until he got that injury, he went for injury, and he affected them.
Mm.
Look at his team back; he started doing well. So, somewhere there is a question I want to ask: why is it that when our player they want to play big team, they will do well, but like this guy for Villarreal,
Chukwueze.
Chukwueze, you see what he did to Real Madrid that day?
Yeah.
If you have kept that performance, today we will be talking of Chukwueze being the African player of the year. See, is that against that magic? I don't know if he has scored another goal again.
A couple.
I think he's been in and out of the team, but
actually Samuel Chukwueze is having the best season
he's ever had.
Numbers wise, right?
Yes,
numbers wise, you know, yeah.
Now, apart from Samuel Chukwueze, Osimhen, Awoni, who just came up light and recently now, then you can add this Okocha brother to it.
He will be.
Nigerian player you can point.
Murphy is having a good season.
Which
across two clubs.
Yes, Terry Murphy.
I don't even know that one.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, so Friday before you go, let's I want you to answer the question. So when you look at all these performances across board, all these Super Eagles players, would you now sum it up as an aggregate to say, okay, they had a good season, they had a poor season, or an average season?
You know, all of them together.
Yes.
We thought the performance would be then 35%.
Over 100.
Others have been a flaw this season now.
Okay.
You mentioned we have more than 30 players, and you can only pick 4 or 5 that did well.
Thank you.
That is a pass, man.
Okay, how many Senegalese players who are the current African champions, how many of their first 11 can you say had a very good season?
Even the one you bought from Napoli.
Koulibaly.
He's having his worst season.
Ndakwanu. Sadio Mane. Ndakwanu.
Mm-hmm.
Nicolas Jackson is having a good season.
Mane is also having a bad season as well.
And so I can also say it's the same thing for Senegal, who are arguably the best on the continent.
Having a bad season, but when they come back to their national team,
Not true, you talk.
Different between Senegal and Nigeria.
All right, Friday. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your contribution. Ladies, don't forget, be part of the conversation. 01465-7190. Hi, Rita.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Who is that?
Sorry.
I was just out of the studio. What's up?
Yeah.
You say yeah.
We full ground.
Yes, too. Naima. Good evening.
You be hola, hola, hola.
With everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's come back home.
Yes.
Let me tell you, 3 players I'm scared of right now, or 4, it's accounting now, Paul.
Okay.
Because he didn't perform well. As in, other clubs didn't come for him. I didn't see that performance of him in that Southampton since over, as in, since he signed to Southampton. I did not. I'm going to Leicester City, even EDG and Chelsea. In fact, they go down on relegation. In fact, let me say they are down now. I don't know the club that will come for them. But I can actually excuse the Iwobi. I am having potential that somebody can come for Iwobi because at least Iwobi tried in his own personal way, even if they go down. But what about the remaining one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So how would you score them?
I'm supporting my own, but I don't know what happened. Even if the teams that were doing bad, at least you can still call on them that this player tried, he was doing okay. It's just the team that brought him down. Because it's a team game, but I do not know. For God's sake. But overall, let me just say average. You want to combine all of them, average.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Rita, for calling in. I appreciate you. More calls. Let's take two more, and then we go on to the European scene. Hi, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening. Good evening to you. What's your name?
My name is Edwin Godwin. I'm from Lekki, Edwin Godwin.
All right, Godwin. Good, average, or bad?
I would say average is life. That means I have overscored them, because average is not even good enough. If, like what you said now, he's only the one that's playing at the striker. The only one that's doing well. Maybe except he will be as a midfielder. Ndidi has been zero. Kelechi has been either here or there. And then go to... in fact, if I want to sum all them together, I would say the first cost would be like 20 over 100. But Nigerian player, except the striker that I mentioned earlier, so it's only the one that's doing well. But coming to defense, midfield, Kavambazi that went to Ajax, that one asked him to write him about, because I remember when he was at Ajax this season, so many people design that he's lacking behind. He doesn't drop back, he doesn't do the defending that he was trying to do. Then if you combine all those together, in fact, let's say Nigerian defense, midfield, I can't say nothing about them. The one that are playing at the front, maybe Osimhen, like the few ones that we have mentioned already, those on their own at the but coming to midfield and defense, even goalkeepers, everything will be up. So, join all this together. Let me score them 20 over 100.
Unadehash. Even Osimhen alone supposed to cover all these people deficiency now.
Is he Jesus?
Can Osimhen strike and then...
That's your couple cannonieri this season now.
Osimhen should be that compulsory question one.
Yes.
I've scored him at 10 already.
You are a very, very harsh lecturer.
When you move 5, is the 5-2-3, come together, everything should be 20 over.
Wow, 5-2-3.
I believe you know that.
Okay, Vex,
for the records.
All right, thank you, Tim Godwin, for calling. I appreciate you.
After Osimhen,
Terry Murphy
scored. He scored combined,
I think 17 or 18.
God bless you.
Across two.
I think even more. More, because if you calculate...
Goals in Europe too.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. Scored 20 plus, actually.
Across this two leagues. Say it.
Brilliant.
Across two leagues.
What you...
No, just say it.
Two leagues, baby. League.
what are the leagues? Two teams, sorry.
Two leagues.
So why this life no balance?
I didn't tell you.
He scored just over 17. No,
but he fell off. You know, he actually fell off.
At some point in the middle of that move. Yeah,
see why I like no balance. See the way Tony is eulogizing him. Brilliant, brilliant. Salah will score 20 for Premier League.
Standard.
Salah has 20.
Salah
has 20 legals.
Are you surprised?
18 legals, actually.
It also has two sides.
20. Check him. No, check.
One final call. Hello, good evening to you.
I think he has 18.
Hello? All right, lost that one. Let's take another one.
19.
What's that? 19,
that's 19, close, 19. Though. From nowhere.
Hello, good evening to you.
Good evening, Sam.
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Welcome.
NFF chairman, Brian Guzzo.
Yeah.
Said the jobs of the coaches tied to the tournament.
Yes.
I agree. The question is, what is his own job tied to? Several months after election, we don't even know his agenda. He said he will address Nigerians on what will be the direction, the thrust, or whatever he's doing. He hasn't done so. And I don't know if a Nigerian Info Show, you know, some kind of, maybe find the time to book an appointment and you know, I'll interview him and let's see who the plan
Tony,
has.
Tony, I think that would be your place. You can work on that.
What plan does he have? Because it's not enough to say in the cold body. What plan does he have to develop peace across the states of the Federation? Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's easy as a boss to hit on the, but you as a boss sometimes just do a reality check and say, what am I even supposed to do?
Okay.
He hasn't said anything. We don't even know where we're going.
No, we'll find out along the way.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. But guys, now that you mentioned it, before we go into the European scene, I would say, and this is me being critical of us as Nigerians, including myself, we're very easy to say under Maju Pinnick, and I'm going to sound like his spokesperson right now, under Maju Pinnick that, your administration, we didn't qualify for the Nations Cup. Mm. Under your administration, the women's team didn't qualify, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Now, under Mr. Ibrahim Gusau's administration, we've not qualified for the Under-17 World Cup. I said that
before you
intentionally.
Continue,
yeah.
You said this year was going to be a big year for
yeah, exactly.
And it's going, everything is going
downwards. We are heading south instead of north.
So the year of greatness.
Are we not ashamed?
Are we not ashamed?
The Super Falcons will restore all that has been lost.
Why not? If it mounts too much pressure
against,
on them.
Against
it's not Canada.
Against who?
Canada will redesign our flag.
All right, let's take some of your thoughts coming through on WhatsApp.
Follow the ladder we ladder.
After your thoughts on WhatsApp, we'll talk about Liverpool and, of course, Manchester City and the Premier League title for this season. Good evening, Samuel and others in the house. It's high time we stop blaming Super Eagles coach. Nigerian players are not good. That's why most of them will be playing in Championship. Then come to under 17, under 20, and 23. That tells you how bad our league is. I can't see under 20 making out of that group if they continue to play the way they played against Dominica Republic. Ufot from VI sending in that thought. Thanks, man, for your contribution. Okay. Oh, no, you should let me lynch him. Hold me back. I want to lynch this guy.
Hold me back.
Oh, go ahead.
These are the moments I live for, you know. Yeah, I like to take a swipe at people.
When I'm here.
Yeah, calm down. This one says, Tayo from Ajax says, I'm just finding out both Italy and Brazil have Chelsea players. Yes, say that to the word.
Andre,
to the world.
Andre.
Amidst of a terrible season, we have Cesare Casadei. For Italy, scored twice in that game.
That Casade guy is a talent.
He's something. Oh. And of course, Andre Santos plays for Brazil.
Sam is a joke.
What?
is that a joke? In the midst of this turbulent season.
No, of course it is.
Congratulations.
By the way, Chelsea women, like I said, in case you don't know, newsflash, they're going to win for the third time.
Sorry, they have not won. It's 2 points gap between them.
United surrendered. Arsenal bottled it in that place again. They were leading, then United took over,
Sam,
and then the rightful owners are here.
Yeah, well, it was around the period when they lost to Wolfsburg in that Champions League.
The same period we lost to Barcelona,
but
the
Arsenal
better team.
Chokes.
Man United, hello.
Man United, Pokes,
hello.
What happened to Man United?
Barely 3 years. You know, the team got to the final of the FA Cup and also fighting for the title.
It's the reason why people surrender the title.
You need to give, you know, respect to Man United.
To who? Ella Toon. But by the way, just 5 years. Actually, just 5 years. England international, Golden Glove winner in the
No, Mary Epps.
Mary Epps.
Yeah. Well, how do you know that?
And what do you mean?
You know,
clubs,
you know, people that are going through a lot.
They're going
through
a lot. United women have had a stellar season.
Of course they have.
Anthony.
They reached final. They didn't win.
Second behind Chelsea.
They are second behind Chelsea.
They also make it stellar.
They only
held that position for about 3 weeks and then they
first
final.
First of Chelsea are celebrating their women's team.
As the men don't get ahead. All right, guys, let's take some of your thoughts, too. Hi, Femi and the gang. Well done, guys. Please, where is the Ezema of sports? Missed him. Wow. I miss hearing his voice. Somewhere in...
He's in the abroad.
Not a foreign-based international.
He's in the abroad.
Let's hope he has a good season for this
guy. He's producing better this day.
I heard the last time he spoke to anybody here was sounding like this. Howdy. How y'all doing?
CD.
That sounds like a country man.
Nigerian football has seriously nosedived. All our players scattered all over the nation. Guy, this is very unfair. We have young players.
That is also a challenge.
No, we have young players.
It's also a challenge.
No. I think we've gone past that.
We have not gone past that at the national level.
This one says, my name is Sally from Oregon in Ikeja. I was going to say Oregon. my own is that I don't understand the way you are pronounced. It's Argentina. I don't understand the way you pronounce Argentina when you're giving analysis. Come like Argentina. Say you get hot yam inside your mouth.
I was there waiting me all this guy.
Why did they mention Argentina?
No. Actually, let me defend Sam here. You see,
I've been at the makeshift studio this guy the weekend.
The makeshift studio.
No, to defend
Sam. We don't use a makeshift studio, by the way. We don't. We have so many studios at our disposal.
It's more like Studio 2.
Yeah.
Sam.
But I don't have. Wait, guys, is that thing yam or yam?
Yam.
Is it yam?
Yam. Yam. What is yam?
Yam or what? Do you say yam or yam?
Yam. Say yam.
Lie is saying I never call it yam before.
I've never called it yam.
Lie.
I've never called it yam.
All liars will go to
are you from my part of the country?
You are going
exactly. It's those from, you know, from Sam's side.
You've got to be kidding me.
Sam, no, you're
I don't have that. I love them, but I don't have that.
Yam, America,
you go. To go back.
Yam.
Anyway, guys, let's quickly cross to the foreign. So we've got a break, but I want us to touch on this. Let's go back to the season. Liverpool, according to Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville, Liverpool are better placed to challenge Manchester City next season, not second placed Arsenal. They agree.
Maybe they have the maturity. They've done this a lot of times. They know what it's like to go. I mean, Arsenal had us hoping for a minute.
A couple of times. I mean, it's when you say a lot of times.
No. They have actually. They sparred with City 3 seasons where they actually competed with City. Won one and lost out 2 times. So they've actually sparred with City well. And they pipped City in the Champions League on their way to winning. They suffered that season. Real Madrid defeated them. But they know what it's like to go toe-to-toe. You know, if there's any side that City will be like, oh, if you think of rivals, they tell you Liverpool, not necessarily Arsenal.
It's Liverpool now.
Liverpool. Yeah. So they are not going to, they don't respect Arsenal, honestly speaking. Yeah, Arsenal didn't. But they are going to finish like 13 points ahead of Arsenal this season.
You're saying that based on rivalry or what's it called?
Well, you know, you remember when in
this
the days
season
when,
has finished. You remember off of the, what this season has shown us.
Well, Sam, you remember the days when Manchester United were winning the trophy, but in between Arsenal would compete.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what Man U and Liverpool are doing right now.
And then
now.
Pick
you know,
one
they will have we'll have like 10 titles up for grabs. Man U will pick up 7, Arsenal will pick up 3 and be like, they competed against but you know, we get the point of this thing, right? Mm. So I think that's what Liverpool are to Manchester City. They are the ones that City look at as, oh, that's our competition.
But a lot of that is going to be depending on what they do in the transfer.
But they've started making moves already.
Liverpool have started making moves. Their favorites to land Alexis McAllister.
We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Working on their midfield, doing a lot of things. And I don't think they would rest on their oars. I think this season has showed them that, look, if you are not competitive,
they're ending strong.
They're ending well, yeah. When you end the season well, you are in good step.
It's always
the next season. I don't think it will be
they'll end well in the Europa League. Yeah. This is a good season.
All right, guys, let's go on a break.
You are rude. And when we are arrested.
When we come back, we'll really dissect this issue. Is it Arsenal or Liverpool? Who's going to be the challenger to Liverpool's crown, to Manchester City's
Liverpool's crown
next season?
In Europa League.
And of course, we're also going to talk about concerns that the Premier League is turning into the Bundesliga. All of that after the break. This is still Game On 99.3 Nigeria Info. That's the analysis or the summation of the former Manchester United captain Gary Neville about the Premier League turning into the Bundesliga, as many are starting to fear falling Manchester City's ninth Premier League title claim on Sunday when they defeated Chelsea by a 0-0 at the Etihad Stadium to secure themselves that one. They actually didn't need anything from that result to secure their title after Arsenal were left lost by Taiwo Awoniyi in the Forest at Nottingham in England on Saturday, the day before. All right, so let's get right into that conversation because it's particularly of interest to me. We've said time and again that this thing Pep Guardiola is starting to do with the Premier League is starting to become, to many, quite annoying. If you're not a Manchester City fan, you wouldn't find it quite funny. Indeed, he's won the Premier League title three times in a row with Manchester City. It's his fifth title since arriving 7 years ago. And I say it again, Odova, I said it on Sunday in commentary. We have to show more respect to Antonio Conte and Jurgen Klopp. If they hadn't taken two of those titles off Klopp, off Pep, would have been seven Premier League titles, Sam, in 7 years. Sam, I don't care what you say.
Sam, can I say something? This thing. No, I just want to correct you. Remove Conte from that list.
Why? Conte won a Premier League with Chelsea. Conte, that's why he's there.
No, Conte won the Premier League when Pep Guardiola was still doing
one. So that was Conte's first season as well. Winning the title. What does that mean?
Well, Chelsea did not need much.
They both. No. Don't say
that. Chelsea won the Premier League 2 years before.
Take that back. It's not about Chelsea. It's about the man Antonio Conte. When you say, oh, it's because Pep was warming up, they both came in the same season.
He was warming up.
They both came in that same season. And Conte won the league. Where was Pep?
What happened in
his first season?
Pep went trophyless.
He went trophyless that season. Nobody's nobody remember saying go trophyless.
Now, is it now? Remember now?
Yeah. In his first season, won
the title. This is why he should finish all of you. He must win.
Don't take me away from my conversation. That's where I'm heading.
He must win.
Gary Neville is a lane fears.
Yeah, don't distract this guy, please.
Gary Neville, thank you very much, Chuma. Gary Neville is a lane fears that, come, don't worry, the Premier League is not turning into the Bundesliga. It's still very competitive.
What kind of insult is that?
No, it's what Pep did with the Bundesliga. It was already there before he arrived, but he made sure that thing stretched
them,
on.
He stretched
it on even further. So we're saying here that we keep arguing that the Premier League is competitive. It's competitive. But this man has won seven. He's won five in seven. And are we still looking at it saying, oh, it's competitive? The same thing happens in La Liga. It's Barca or Real Madrid. There's the odd occasion where Atletico Madrid comes and claims it.
Yes.
In Serie A, it was Juve for
nine
straight years. And then there came Milan to break it after that long.
Inter
then
Milan.
In the Ligue 1, it's the same thing. It's PSG winning it, winning. Right, so arguably, it's like the whole league's monotonous. No,
I think the best have to be the French league, where we're seeing Monaco, we're seeing Lille, we're seeing PSG. In the last 10 years or there.
I saw Bordeaux win it.
Like, did you see it?
Watching the league Marseille went Mamadou Niang was
Bodex.
He was using the Brazilian guy, Gokouf.
Johan Gokouf, Gouffron, Roberto as well. All those guys.
I understand where.
And then before then, the Bundesliga was competitive in those years. Between 2005 and 2012-ish, winners were
Schalke.
Stuttgart, Schalke,
Wolfsburg,
Wolfsburg at some point.
Yes.
Wolfsburg won it in 2009 with Felix Magath.
It was a lot.
But Dortmund then did that double back-to-back.
Back-to-back,
and then they embarrassed Bayern, I think it was 11-12, with Kagawa. Sam, stop this.
You should say baby. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are a good man. Anyways, so Shinji Gagawa, until Bayern now decided to now come and quietly spoil their parade by buying
good players.
You see the bragging right that the Premier League can hold on to. Sorry, Tony. Which is still the difference. You know, in Italian Serie A, these guys did it 9 straight years, Juventus. In the French League, at the point, Olympic Lyon won it 7 straight years.
Yes.
You know, the free kick maestro era, Jorginho, that guy that year. Mm. In the Bundesliga right now, Bayern have done it 10 years in a row. It'd be like Dortmund, go help us break them this year. Mm. But in England, you know, they can genuinely still have that bragging right that as much as, just like Neville said. You've had people have it multiple times in maybe a decade, but as to back-to-back, which is why Guardiola's win feels... It's no, the fact that people break in between is makes you know that
so Chuma, for
you cannot start the season. So with the Bundesliga, bro, person win league 10 straight times. Guy,
that's largely down to the quality of the team. Look, when Juve were winning it 9 straight times,
but that's the point.
They
now.
Were by far the best team in maybe all of Serie A, Bundesliga, and maybe Liga.
And they were that good. For the sake of context there, in all of these 9 straight times, one Champions
League.
In all of these 9 straight times.
No Champions
League. That 2 Champions League finals, Abi. Yes. Lost to Barcelona.
That can happen.
For no Champions League title. Mm-hmm. I'm going somewhere. Mm-hmm. In all of Bundesliga, Bayern's Bundesliga, 10 years in a row. Champions League title could Champions be 19 League. Year, yeah, and then 2013, Abi, 2012.
Kuma.
You know.
Okay, no. Yeah,
so when you're saying this, arguably the best on the land, as the case is, you're right. But it goes back to supporting the Premier League now, who are telling you that even when you're the best on the land, as Man City, if you were to be a Juventus, you know if you dominate Premier League to that level, obviously you win them 9 times in a row. That's the point here.
You're getting there.
Now we've done three and five.
Here's the thing.
Five in 6 years.
This is the context you guys are missing. If in a 10-year period, 10 titles up for grabs and one team picks it up 7 times, they don't do it consecutively, but in that mix, they would have, if they have won 7 in 10 years, it means they've done consecutively
twice. Yes, at least twice.
Manchester United did 3 threepeats in 20 years.
Mm.
Arsenal picked up one title, Blackburn picked up one, Leeds
did take me back to those years.
They did not manage it. Newcastle tried, they couldn't manage it. It was Chelsea who came and did a back-to-back, and then Man City at some point picked up one along the line. Manchester United in that run picked up 13 Premier League titles. They turned it to their own league. Nobody made this noise. Listen, it does not matter if you do it back-to-back. It is a very hard thing to do. People look at when Bayern and PSG and this rest do it. Sometimes it's that the rest of the league is particularly bad. I look at Juve's time. I think the one time they were particularly good was in Conte's last season with them, when they made 102 points. I don't think anybody has, in the top five leagues of Europe, I don't think anybody has done 102 points before.
City?
No. 100. Mm-hmm. Nobody has done 102 mm-hmm. points. They reached a height that was the same season they made the Champions League
final.
No, the next year that same squad made the Champions League final. It was just unfortunate that Barca were really, really good and were firing on all cylinders. Look, it does not matter whether you do it back to back 7 times. If you've seen somebody out of 100%, he picked up 70. It's the same thing. Whether it's
I don't agree.
It's the same thing.
You know, it's worse when domination is there, but when on paper you are saying city.
Yeah,
your head is doing you somehow.
So we're saying Man U, Blackburn. Man U.
Let's not also forget that we're talking competitive beyond what's happening in terms of who wins.
Mm.
We're not talking about what's happening with the top four, top six. I mean, now
that's competitiveness in itself.
We have evolved.
Top four. Now we see Newcastle.
Top six, top seven now.
You know what's funny to me? Look.
The battle for
I always try to correct people when they say Premier League competitive. The Premier League is the richest, the best packaged. That is why you take interest in many of these things. Look,
so what are you saying?
In Spain, in Italy,
nobody really puts a lot of premium on top four the way it's done in the English Premier League.
Because it doesn't exist in that, in those leagues.
You know why it's a big deal in the Premier League? Let me tell you why it is. It's that on every other count, money is shared equally. But when it comes to how you finish on the table log, how your position matters as to how much you are going to get. I said it before, 2 seasons ago, as of the accounts that came out 2 seasons ago, the difference between Newcastle that almost got relegated, I think they finished 17th place, and Manchester City that won the whole thing was 52 million. Newcastle made 99 million that year from TV rights.
Okay, David.
And Manchester City made 152 million.
Does that point that you raised apply to all the major
leagues? Not necessarily.
No.
In many of these leagues, big teams, big two, big three, take the lion's share. Whether they finished best in the league or not.
No.
It's the equity of the Premier League that you guys are thinking like this.
Other teams also get, you know, monies according to how they finish.
They do. Let me leave that money issue.
Guys,
they finish seventh this season.
Let's leave
but
this
they are
money
likely
issue.
To make more money.
This money
than
issue
some teams
is
finishing
is clouding
ahead of them.
The point.
Okay,
we're talking competitiveness.
All right, guys. You guys changed. You took.
Yeah, you guys are too competitive in this video.
Well, I was gonna go somewhere, but I like the fact that we delved into this. Gary Neville's comments was about, again, the balance of power in the Premier League
guys
across all other. No, I think
he,
actually this is the first time in a long time.
Sense,
he made a lot of
he
sense.
He makes a lot of
now,
sense.
He was
says
he was separating since 1992. Since 1992 up until now when it became the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Between 1992 and 2011, which is 19 years, we had four different Premier League winners, which you mentioned. Mm. United won 12 Premier League titles. Chelsea won three. Arsenal won three, and Blackburn won one. That's four.
Yeah.
Now between 2012 and now, which is 12 years, we've had five different Premier League winners. So what he said on one hand is, we've seen this before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's happened before, and in that 12 between that 2012 and now, City have won seven. Chelsea 2, United 1, Leicester 1, and Liverpool 1. Now, where I want to go with this is how this dominance for one team affects the performance of that league in the Champions League. We spoke about this in the studio, and he said it's not to a large extent.
It's not a big deal.
We calculated it. Between 1992 and 2011, England had what? Just one Champions League title.
No, actually, they did. They had...
Between
1992 and 2011.
The same team, actually.
United won one.
No, three.
It was two, actually.
United won 99, Liverpool 2005.
Yeah.
This is between 2009.
Three,
yeah,
so
that's
three.
1999 and
now, between 2012 and now, the Premier League has...
Chelsea 1, Liverpool 2.
And within that same period, how many has... Between 2012 and now, Real Madrid have won five. Barcelona have won how many?
Between 2012 and 2012.
But you know that, Sam, generally, with respect to the European Cup, English teams have been down that pecking orders. The Italian League, the Spanish League have always been, you know.
So this dominance,
it is usually Liverpool that always break
the heritage. Probably.
So the question now, Anthony, is does this dominance of one team, does City's dominance help England claim more?
Man United dominated
more
for how many years?
And they only won one.
That's what I'm saying.
We are looking at the Champions League as a package that comes with
there has to be an effect. There has to be a trickling down effect of that dominance in the league
to
the Champions League.
That is a false equivalence that many of us, you know, find ourselves going down. It's a different tournament.
No, but
you approach it differently.
I get the approach. It may not be so obvious, but it
I understand
affects.
What
quality doesn't hide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but look at City. But wait, look at City are on the verge of winning the Champions League.
And
so they don't know.
The dominance is paying off. Is that not
it? If they don't win it, what would you say?
But they could end up not winning it.
They've gone this far. They've been in the semis how many times now?
But when we talk about La Liga, we don't talk about.
No.
Madrid has won, in this period of City's dominance, Madrid has won 5.
That's Real Madrid. They are different.
No.
It's Real Madrid.
Sam, this will be my response. And I'm going to, you know, a few things just came to my mind. I'm going to throw them into the conversation. I feel that the more competitive the league is, where one person doesn't dominate, the more likely the teams are to do better in Europe. And I'll give you an example. Even this season in the Italian Serie A, you just said something about the Serie A being the most competitive in Europe in recent times, because we've had four different champions in four years now, since after Juventus, and of course lost it to Inter, AC, and now Napoli. The Serie A is rejuvenating itself. It had 3 teams in the quarterfinal stage of the Champions League. Let's go back to even when the Serie A had 3 teams in the semifinals in 2003. Then AC Milan could cough. Juventus could cough in that same Serie A at that time. Inter could cough.
They could do.
When England was having 3 teams in the semifinals, Arsenal, Manchester United, and Liverpool. Yeah. Well, maybe not Liverpool, but Arsenal and Man U were, you know, where teams that you could always look at the start of the season to say these guys could win the title. So I feel that it's more, my take is this, the Spanish La Liga keeps having guys shine, whether it's Barca or Real. And in the La Liga, these two guys are the baddest guys too.
Yes.
I feel that the more competitive your league is amongst the guys who can win your league title,
it can affect
the
your
better your quality is, even in Europe, based on this example.
Meaning that the dominance of one team reduces the chances.
Tony, I want you to see it from this angle. You see, the quality of competition in a league has an attendant effect of doing this. Everybody wears themselves out. So when they come out to Europe, those who have won their league with maybe 15, 16 points ahead are in a better stead to compete. Think about
That's if you look at it from one perspective. The quality of competition increases the level
Examples of guys who dominated, like you guys just say, with all of my use dominance,
for context. I think between 1980 and 2000. Between 1980 and 2005, you could tell that Italian teams reached the final like 10 times.
That period, AC Milan mostly.
That was the dominant league in the game at the time.
Agreed.
Juve won it in 85. Milan repeated 89, 90. Won in 94 again.
Juve again in 93.
Juve won it in 96. Got to the final 96. In 97. No, they got to the final in 97 and 98. Yes. They lost. First to Dortmund and second to Real Madrid.
Got to semis in 99.
They got to the semis in 99, lost to Manchester United and the Cole and the people that are very, very... I don't know where they got the spirit. And then... Juve got to the final in 2003 again. Milan made the final in 2005 and 2007. Look, sometimes it doesn't always work out. Football is not mathematics.
No one's saying it is.
It's not mathematics. You don't... there's nothing...
Sometimes the math is obvious.
I cringe when people say, oh, how many champions do they have? Nothing about the Premier League's competitiveness says it must translate to... the Champions League.
But we've just pointed out the figures for you, David. We've just shown you the numbers.
Well, and I just printed numbers for you that in the dominant years of the Serie A, they won more and actually dominated more.
In that dominant period for the Serie A on Europe, how many different winners of the La Liga, the Serie A did they have?
Sampdoria won it in 1995. Between the after Sampdoria won 1991 rather, Sampdoria got to the final of the Champions League the next year.
92,
where they lost to Barcelona. But between that time and year 2000, it was Milan, Juve,
maybe once in a while, Inter.
All right, David, hold your thoughts. We have to go on a break. This is getting really interesting. When we come back from the break, we'll also talk about Pep versus Ferguson, the legacies. Is it being eroded by this same man, Pep Guardiola, again? For all of the brilliance done by Sir Alex Ferguson, is Pep about to just wipe it in a bit? All of that after the break, guys. Stick around. We'll be right back.